In 1951, Jack Kevorek wrote a story, later published in book form, 1957, titled On the Road. It proved to be a definitive narrative for the so-called Beat Generation. If you've read it, you know that it is a loosely woven together series of stories about Sal Paradise. No coincidence about that name. And Sal's wanderlust. There is little coherence to the stories, just events that seem to have no real center. Only a desire to experience. And that is the road. The road, the journey, the experience becomes the point of Sal's life, becomes his paradise. But it cannot ultimately be sustained. And finally, Sal realizes it. In the end, all that remains for him is the memory of the road. And he closes the book with the words, I think of Dean Moriarty. I even think of old Dean Moriarty, the father we never found. I think of Dean Moriarty. At one point for Sal, it seemed there was no end to the road, but in the end, there was no road. There was only the end. On the Road defined a generation that sought to reject its parents' assumptions about the road to success, the road to the top. Not surprisingly, it offered something of a blueprint for the 60s, and perhaps manifested itself most clearly in events like 1967's Summer of Love, or in performances of the Grateful Dead, who would play a show lasting some 6 hours, and perhaps play 3 songs. It was all about the moment, the experience. Contrast Mark 10. And they were on the road, going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. If there is anything that characterizes the life and ministry of Jesus, it is purpose and direction. He knows where he is going. He knows what he must do. A key moment in the Gospel of Luke occurs in chapter 9, verse 51, which reads, When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus was on the road to Jerusalem, and he knew what waited for him there. From our text, and taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. The life and ministry of Jesus was a road from a manger to a cross to an empty tomb. And knowing this, Jesus determined to follow that path to its end. Why? Because of rebellious humankind, which by its sin had alienated itself from God, because of your sin and mine. Jesus' purpose was to restore people to God, to return us to the Lord, our God. If he did not follow that road, no one would. Matthew 16:21 captures it perhaps more strongly than Mark. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. But even the ESV translation doesn't get the full force of the Greek. It was absolutely necessary that Jesus follow this road, because if he did not, no one would, and mankind would be lost forever. The good news, of course, is that he did it. And having gone to Jerusalem, he paid for sin on that cross once and for all. He rose from the dead on the third day and opened the road to God for you and for me. But no question, it was a difficult road. And notably, those with him knew it. Striking to me in Mark chapter 10 are the plurals. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. This story is not only about Jesus, it is about his followers and the road that they were and are on. And that road can be challenging and, frankly, frightening. Perhaps you caught this as well. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. They were afraid. So too, I would venture, are many of us. And if I may be so bold, may I ask, what fears do you bring with you into this chapel today as you follow Jesus' road? It may be that SEM1s and first-year deaconesses are in the best place at present. What I mean is, they've been through most of an academic year now, and they have the seminary pretty well figured out. They know which professors are tough and which ones they will take. They know where their classmates stand on various issues. They know how things work. It all kind of makes sense. But what about the rest? Students visiting us over the next few days, thinking about seminary, no doubt have more than a few uncertainties and perhaps even fears as they anticipate a new path, which may include a family move, financial changes, and all other sorts of challenges. Some of our deaconesses and many SEM2s are anticipating vicarage and internship at this point, and no doubt you're beginning to wonder, what will my supervisor be like? MA students who are completing their course of studies have to think about work. And then the SEM4s and the deaconesses and some STM students who are facing placement have the big questions. Where will I serve? What will the congregation or the ministry be like? Will I succeed? Will I fail? What awaits me? After all, this is the real thing. And if you're like me, you'll find that upon entering the church for the first time after ordination and installation, when it was just me going into that church, I was utterly terrified. Utterly terrified. Because it was the real thing. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus was walking ahead of them. We are not alone on this road. Christ has walked it all before us, and through his suffering, death, and resurrection has conquered sin, death, and hell once and for all, and his glorious resurrection opens the way to everlasting life. So, fix your eyes on Jesus, the beginning and end of your faith, and the words of St. John will become your own, even in the midst of the challenging realities of the road. When I saw him, I fell at his feet, as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not, for I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.